The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming at you live from the heart of downtown Lincoln, this is Old School with Foreman and Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman is sponsored by Graham Tire Company of Lincoln, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Here's Troy Detmer dropping straight back in the pocket. Rifles a pass, it was tipped, it's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5, he'll score! Foreman got it, and it's touchdown Huskers!
Black shirts, answer the call one more time.
And Austin Orman. Hour one of Old School is sponsored by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is Old School Tuesday edition of the show. A little bit different today. A little bit different. We'll have an hour with you from 3 to 4. Lincoln Stars will come in from 4 to 5 and another hour of Old School coming up from 5 to 6. Normally Mike Smith is in that time, but in the new year, he's doing First Fridays. Had our first one back on Friday. Bunch of people here in the studio, in the space. Love it. Appreciate Mike Smith. But he will be the first Friday of every month for those of you looking for the disruption, right, in your drive time. Mike Smith, First Fridays from now on. So we'll have Old School 3 to 4 and 5 to 6 today. Austin Orman here. No Jay Foreman. Hopping in the seat for the Husker Hall of Famer and NFL vet, it is Nick Wyman. Nick, welcome to Old School. Welcome back to Old School, I should say. You're not new to this.
Yep, I'm a guy thrown in like my first week when you were out. Me and Jay filled in. Jay was like, oh, you're not too bad, not too shabby. So
he quickly rose to his favorite Nick.
That
took much.
It didn't take much per Jay, but, you know, filling Jay's role is a little harder, I think. Very hard, I think.
Hard to fill losing a transfer quarterback that you have in the fold for less than 24 hours. We will talk about that coming up. 402-464-5685. Like I said, with the split show, we'll do Husker football in this first hour and Nebraska men's basketball for your drive home from work coming up at 5. 402-464-5685. This is Old School, brought to you as always by Graham Tire Company. They're celebrating 75 years of serving the Midwest. More than just tires, they do all kinds of car and light truck repairs too. From brakes to oil changes, trust Graham Tire for service you can count on. Graham Tire, getting you to the places that matter most. All right, Nick. Nebraska football loses out on Kenny Minchie. Hard to say that it's anything other than a big disappointment for Nebraska. That was their number one target at the quarterback position, a guy that they thought they had in the bag. No money pun intended. And he's, you know, committed to Nebraska. The graphics are made and everything. And then what? Within 24 hours? Oh, wait, he's going to Kentucky.
Yeah.
What happened there? I mean, Kentucky gets a visit from Sam Leavitt. He says, nope, just kidding. I'm going to go visit LSU. Kentucky doesn't feel good about their chances. And so they end up reaching back out to Kenny Minchie and they flip him. Of course, they ended up losing their quarterback Cutter Bowley to Arizona State down the line. So Husker fans, you can blame Lane Kiffin for this one, taking away Sam Leavitt. I always thought Kentucky was a bit of a weird move for Sam Leavitt to go from Arizona State to Kentucky. But I guess, you know, SEC experience would have been something that he could throw to the pros. Hey, I mean, it was at Kentucky. Look what I did at just Kentucky. You can draft me pretty high. But for Nebraska, what a blow to put so many of your eggs in the Kenny Minchie basket, to feel like you got the transfer portal season started off on a pretty positive note, really only losing, you know, two main contributors so far to the portal in Raiola and in Keona Davis. To have your quarterback in the fold, everything except the three most important parts, signed, sealed, and delivered. Verbal commitment's great. Nebraska didn't bring the papers. Kentucky had a chance to swoop back in. Killer, maybe not a killer blow. You don't know how good Minshew is going to be, but a vibe killer at the very least.
What a strange situation. You know, I think, you know, going to Sunday, it was kind of set in stone that Kenny Minchie, this is the guy who's coming in to push TJ Latif. There's going to be a quarterback competition. You know, it was kind of set in stone for 24 hours, maybe a little less than 24 hours. And they put him in there. You know, all the talk yesterday, I think from, you know, morning till about 8 o'clock last night was Kenny Minchie. Here's who he is. What has he done? Who's he sat behind at Notre Dame? What has he done at Notre Dame? You know, and it was kind of set in stone, like, hey, this is the guy they're putting their eggs in a basket for. After Nebraska basketball's win over Ohio State.
It broke during postgame.
Yeah, you were here. Yeah. You were here. I saw Pete Nakos of On3 put out the report that, here's my prediction, he's going to Kentucky. I'm like, huh? Like, this doesn't make any sense, because it's like, usually you go into do not contact, you're kind of set in, kind of like a Rocco Beck did the same thing. Sorsby had his visits, but obviously Texas Tech was the favorite. That landed, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's going to Kentucky now. I don't think we've ever seen a transfer portal commit, and then re-enter the transfer portal while he's in the transfer portal.
But it goes back to Nebraska not getting the signature.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that's all you had to do. It was bring the dude some papers, right? Get him to campus. You drug your feet, and you lost out on your number one target. That's inexcusable. It's unacceptable.
It's so strange, because now it's like you're back to square one. And the portal is, as I talked with Jay on Sunday, the portal moves fast. And Sunday was before Kenny Minchie was committed, and we were naming some names. Josh Hoover was barely even committed. There were so many games. Brent Sorsby's now gone. Yeah. There are so many names off the table at the quarterback position that it's, you know, it just moves so fast. Like, we may buy tonight, there might be another name. I know obviously Nebraska's going on a search now, but it's just, it's so strange that it was, you set on this one guy, Raiola leaves, Minshew seems to be the guy, and now you're throwing three or four names out now that, like, hey, they're coming on visits, and we're going to see, and kind of opening up kind of like a recruiting process with these guys. It's just so, the portal is just so dynamic, and who knows? What if Nebraska strikes out with three or four more guys? What happens? That's just as a nightmare scenario. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's just, you start to question that. Because it's always in the back of your mind, because the portal is always evolving as we speak.
Starter Heyman Jewelers text line is buzzing, 402-464-5685. Cupsker says, Kenny, who? I'm sorry, I just don't think you can consider him a Husker if he's never stepped on campus or taken reps. So for all I know, he's going from Notre Dame to Kentucky. Yeah, I mean, it's just like in recruiting, but you have someone in the fold, you're planning on them being there. You spend this much time talking about them because you have no reason to believe they're not coming to Lincoln, then all of a sudden, oh, you have to start talking about another quarterback and all the drama that entails. So no, he was really, you know, never a Husker outside of, you know, maybe one phone call or two with Matt Rhule and Nebraska's people. No, he never set foot on campus. But again, it's because he didn't sign anything. Nebraska made him, you know, at least a competitive offer. Nebraska offered him an opportunity to compete. Maybe that's part of it with Kentucky, you know, losing Cutter Bully. They're like, okay, you walk in the unquestioned starter. Maybe he wanted that after, you know, a few years now of trying to battle for a job. I'm sure money played a factor in it as well. But again, more so than what Kentucky did or offered to get him away from Nebraska, the issue is that Nebraska didn't handle business. Your number one target, if you're not saying this is a reset year, if you're not saying this is a rebuild year, if you're saying this is the year that Nebraska is going to compete and take a step that people don't believe they can take, has so much in football, not just college football, but football in general, starts at the quarterback position. You had your guy. You had to get your guy. This was going to be your foundational cornerstone guy, or maybe, you know, alongside TJ Latif, one of those two guys, but you needed competition. This is the guy you zeroed in on, you circled on, and you got lazy. And you got arrogant. You got entitled, thinking, oh yeah, he's in the bag. We're good. We can chill. We got him. We know in high school recruiting, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal, maintain the relationship, do everything and more if the guy is your guy. If Kenny Minchie was Nebraska's guy to that level,
and they stopped short of doing everything they could to make sure he was on campus. What a black eye. What an embarrassing failure.
Nebraska had the ball with Kenny Minchie inside the 5-yard line. Literally.
Yeah.
And on fourth down, they got turned away. And Kentucky swooped in and took advantage. I just don't understand how you don't capitalize on that, because it's like, you know, like Sorsby, obviously, he committed to Texas Tech because of money, obviously. You know, he's getting paid a lot, allegedly. But it'd be like if LSU just swooped in and said, oh, we're going to offer you $7.5 million now. Oh, and then he flips to LSU. It's like, it's just so strange how we've never seen a quarterback or any position guy kind of flip mid-portal. I just don't understand how that's allowed or really happens.
Right. 2563. Do you know what happened behind the scenes? I don't have it on firsthand authority. I'm sure I don't have the full story, but you can read the tea leaves. When a guy commits or puts the graphic out there and then that quickly is back in the portal or has another school in mind, that is almost assuredly then what happened to Nebraska, is that they thought they had this guy. They're waiting for time to bring him to campus to sign papers, and he couldn't do it, couldn't get here because you left the door open. You know, if he had signed his national letter of intent, if he had signed some contracts, it would take more than 24 hours to go back on that, to find the loophole to get out of it. That's what leaves me, you know, wondering if Nebraska really, you know, tied up all the loose ends and made sure the shirt was buttoned all the way up. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like Nebraska missed a button somewhere, and that was the back door that made this take, you know, 24 hours. If he had signed his letter of intent, you would think it would maybe take weeks to back out of that commitment, or he'd have to actually, you know, come to Nebraska and then enter the transfer portal again at some point. That's not what happened. So my guess is that it was the paperwork that was unsigned that left this door open.
And then people always will say, you know, the full story. We'll never fully know the full story. But I mean, there's competition. Maybe some people throw out like, oh, maybe he didn't want to compete with TJ Lateef. And then people are throwing around, oh, you know, they're going to have this quarterback competition. Now he goes to Kentucky where he's playing in the SEC. He's going to be the guy at Kentucky. And obviously there's other factors like money. There are so many factors, A, B, and C. There are so many things that went into the decision that Kenny Minchie made. And you and I and everybody else will never fully know and fully understand the story behind that.
Which is too bad. I think Husker fans deserve some clarity heading into a pretty important year for Nebraska as a team, Nebraska as a program, Nebraska as an institution. Jordan P., real blue bloods don't get the cold shoulder like this. Number one, I think it's hard to take away the blue blood moniker just because of what Nebraska's doing now doesn't really detract from what Nebraska did before. But that is a thought that I had. Even in this day and age, Nick, of the transfer portal, of the house settlement, of the revenue sharing cap, even when the playing field has been significantly leveled, where the SEC has been brought in line with some of these other conferences, or at least they're, you know, closer to equal with the Big Ten. You see the Big Ten winning plenty of matchups on the field. You know, when the ACC and the Big 12 get their fair share of players, and, you know, money is a factor, but everyone has a similar amount of money from the rev share cap. Even in a day and age where the playing field in some ways has been leveled like that, it's still unfortunate to see Nebraska football lose out to Kentucky. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If it was, you know, sure, Texas Tech, they lost out on some guys too. A&M, okay, maybe a little bit more money. You know, if Nebraska loses out on a guy too, Ohio State or Michigan, okay, they've run the conference. Or Oregon, okay, fine, they're at the top of the conference. Nebraska's not. Later offer came in, it was a little bit better, and they're going to take it. But this is Kentucky, who's not on Nebraska's footing in the SEC, who doesn't have the history, who doesn't have, you know, a stable coaching staff. There's a lot of similarities between these two programs, which is where you normally give the nod to the blue blood, the power. And for a school that it probably should mean a little bit more to in Nebraska. Again, if you're desperate to get back to where you say you want to go, you do everything in your power to do it. Maybe it only took an extra, you know, 100,000 or 200,000, whatever the number is, to get Kenny Minchie to change his mind. Maybe that's, you know, a blessing in disguise for Nebraska. You know, he was just taking the best offer and wasn't, you know, fully committed wherever he's going to go. I don't know. I haven't talked to the young man. I don't know the rationale behind it. But just to any, you know, neutral outside observers that see that Nebraska lost a quarterback to Kentucky, even in this day and age, you can apply all the context you want. I just don't think that's a good look.
It isn't, because Kentucky football hasn't been, I mean, they've had quarterbacks. They've had like guys like Terry Wilson. They've had Lynn Bowden Jr., who then flipped to be a wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah, Will Levis, obviously, played there, transferred from Penn State. And Zach Calzada was one of the transfer portal guys. He's been around multiple colleges, and you know, he played at A&M, and then he went to Incarnate Word, and now he was at Kentucky, and then Cutter Boyle took over for him, and then Cutter Boyle's now going to Arizona State. So this roadmap of quarterbacks for Kentucky is just all over the place. And now they outbid, basically, and jumped out the opportunity to grab Kenny Minchie, who is a wild card in a sense, because we don't really know what he brings to the table yet, because most of the playing time he's had is in games against like Purdue and Syracuse and, you know, you name it, where they're up, you know, in the fourth quarter up by a lot. But it's just like, if this was your guy, that your number
then
one,
go get him.
Yeah, exactly. He's the number one guy on your list, and you, it's like free agency essentially in, yeah, you know, baseball and basketball. You know, he's the number one guy. He's your priority. You want to grab him and make sure nobody else can touch him. Get the paperwork done. You're done. So, and to see him, I don't know, less than 24 hours flip to Kentucky is just, it's just kind of a bad mark on Nebraska's football program.
Gorilla Bear chimes in. Kentucky's low-key been a thorn in Nebraska's side. Wandale Robinson, Dante Dowdell, and now Kenny Minchie. I think those are three wildly different situations.
They're different.
But Wandale was from Kentucky. He was down to Nebraska and Kentucky. A lot of people wanted him to stay home, stay closer to home. He made the decision to go to Nebraska. And I think he might have stayed had Nebraska used him properly, but that wasn't the role he envisioned himself.
Look at him now in the NFL.
Shortest guy with a 1,000-yard season in a long time in the NFL. Good for Wandale. Dante Dowdell, from, you know, the Southeast, probably wanted to get back closer to home, which is why he came from Oregon to Nebraska. His Nebraska usage was a little bit spotty. I thought Nebraska kept feeding him touchdowns at the end of the year to try to keep him around, but that's a guy that wanted to be a little bit closer to home, get back to the SEC. And now Kenny Minchie, I think, just comes down to money and Nebraska not handling business. So I think it's the same team. I don't think it's necessarily the same reasons, right? The same rationale. Lots more text to get to here. John in Southeast Lincoln. Hi, guys. This transfer portal has really soured me on college football. There's just a bunch of mercenaries out there. Some kids were told to leave, so I don't blame them. We also have this from Brad from Baldwin. One thing to remember, this quarterback, whoever it is just a plug and play till Trey Taylor gets here. He's not sitting. That one I'm curious about, but think about this. Dylan was like the fifth true freshman to start a game at Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I think Adrian Martinez would have been the fourth then, and yep, DJ Lateef became the sixth, right? It's very rare for Nebraska to start true freshman quarterbacks. There are some guys that are talented. There are some guys that are ballers, but there are plenty of guys that need that year to sit behind the scenes. Maybe Trey Taylor's that good. I don't want to bank on that. He's still got another year of high school, and he's got to come in and command, you know, college locker room. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying it's always a risk when or more of a risk when you run out a true freshman quarterback. Maybe Trey Taylor's that dude. Maybe he is. If he is, more credit to him, more power to him. Great. I'm not willing to go there yet.
That's 2027.
Know? Right. That's down the road. I still think that the guy that Nebraska is going to get could have been a 26 and 27 guy. Give Trey Taylor that year to sit, and then Taylor's the guy in 28. I think that's best for Nebraska. I think that's best for Trey Taylor. But now it sets up that Trey Taylor is most likely going to have to walk on campus as the day one starter, unless TJ Lateef, you know, sticks it out and is here, you know, through 2027 and then maybe even 2028, potentially, right? Because he'd have, 25, 26, 27, 20. Yep. He could have 28 too. So maybe Taylor sits for 2 years behind Lateef if he sticks around for all four. But when's the last time a quarterback stuck around anywhere for all 4 years? It's been so rare that, yeah, I still think a lot lines up to have Trey Taylor be the starter in 27. I think it's a lot better for Nebraska if he's able to wait till 28.
I mean, yeah, you sit a year in college, you learn a lot. It's kind of like when, you know, a quarterback sits in the NFL, you don't want to throw a rookie in there in a situation where they're not going to succeed. I mean, like Cam Ward guys, they took their lumps, and as the year progressed, they got better. In college, you can't really do that because it's a 12-game schedule.
Yeah.
And in Nebraska, you know, Adrian Martinez and Dylan Raiola, that's, you know, they've seen that twice in about, you know, less than 10 years here. Before that, you barely saw a freshman quarterback in Nebraska.
Well, yeah, to this point, right? Waterboy says, I wouldn't call it very rare when true freshman quarterbacks have been all people my age have known. But that's the exact point. Nebraska has been playing organized football since 1900. That's 126 seasons of football. And you got three true freshman starters from 1900 to 2018. Mm-hmm. 118 years, three true freshmen to start a game for you. And then from 2018 on, there's three more. That's the point. So, yeah, maybe people our age, that's what we're more familiar with. But it doesn't change the fact that 118 years, you had three. And then in 8 years, you had three. The rate is quickening, and some of that's just natural with the way the sport is moving. But man, there's a lot of evidence that points to, unless you're the special quarterback, that year to sit is always better.
And those two freshmen in the last 10 years, both have transferred.
Yeah.
Martinez went to K-State. Ryle is going TBD. Mm-hmm. It's just such a weird situation where you have to be ready and evolve as time progresses, because you never know. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's safe. I mean, there's so many people in the transfer portal. The transfer portal is, I saw a stat. It's like there's like a third of college football is in the transfer portal. It's evolving. You have to be ready. It's recruiting 2.0, just with guys who have played insert number of snaps in college football.
Absolutely. 5046, how much does Nebraska's GM make, that being Pat Stewart? I'm sure that number is out there. I don't have it offhand. Be curious to know who gets the blame for this falling through. If it's Nebraska's fault, if it's Minshew's fault. I'm going to put the blame on Nebraska for now. I think there's a lot of responsibility that Nebraska seems to have abdicated right now, and that's a black mark on them. Maybe it's Pat Stewart, maybe it's other people in the department, or maybe Nebraska really did get played and they were handling business as best they could, and Minshew and his people deceived them. Whatever it is, you know, Nebraska doesn't have him, and that reflects on Nebraska in some capacity. Byron the Hog Farmer, his agent still shopping him around isn't our fault. No, I mean, that's part of the deal, but it's why, if you're Nebraska, you have to take those steps proactively, right? A verbal agreement just doesn't cut it. Get pen to paper, bring him in. Brad, they should just cut the football budget in half and give it to Fred Hoiberg. Now we're talking. We'll talk about that again at 5. Cubsker, I think fans can think of this now as an opportunity to go get someone who started somewhere else and is okay with coming in and having a battle with TJ. 1171 SEC, it just means more, I guess, even when it's a bottom feeder. So who does Nebraska shift the focus to now? That is indeed the question. Some other options on the table for Nebraska, Nick. We know that Anthony Calandria is in or near Lincoln, the former Virginia and UNLV quarterback. Nebraska has also been linked to Aiden Childs, to Bo Pribula, and then also trying to set up a visit with DJ Lagway. I know one of those options stands out to you. I'll let you talk about it. Why?
Yeah, Anthony Calandria. I liked him at Virginia. He's a gunslinger. He can throw the ball. He's flashy. I think. And UNLV, I mean, he was the reason UNLV had a pretty successful season. Dan Mullen's first year back out of the broadcast booth from ESPN. They bring him in, the coach at UNLV. And Calandria, I just like the way he plays. I just like the way he handles himself. Obviously, they got smacked around in that bowl game against Ohio. That's one game. People will point to that game like, oh, he didn't play well. It's like, well, that's one game. Look at this guy's experienced. And yeah. I think that's what Nebraska wants in a way. Bringing in an experienced quarterback who has tons of snaps. He's been in different systems. He's been at Virginia. He's been at UNLV. He just is the one that kind of jumps off the paper because, you know, Aiden Childs, you know, DJ Lagway, those guys, we kind of know what they are. Mm-hmm. Anthony Calandria, if we plug him in at Nebraska, you know, you have a guy who can pass the ball. He can run, you know, he's not going to run first, but he can throw the ball. He can sling it around, sling the rock around. He's the guy I've kind of been shouting at for even since the portal opened. I've been behind the scenes here, and I've been like, I liked him and Colton Joseph, the guy who's going to Wisconsin, the old Dominion quarter. Those are the two guys I've kind of been throwing at. But I, at the time, it was like, oh, Calandria is just kind of a, you know, just a name that I'm throwing out there. It's not serious, super serious, because at the time we were like, oh, it's Kenny Minchie. So it's crazy that we've come to this, and that's kind of maybe a possibility now. We don't fully know, but he's the guy I would go with. I know everybody else has their own opinion, but that's just in my opinion. I think that's the direction Nebraska should go at the quarterback position.
Let's try and hit our Honda Flingin hotline. Caller, are you with us there on the line?
Yes.
They're not.
Guess not.
That's all right. We tried. I get the Calandria thing. A little bit more experience. That goes a long way. Aiden Childs, I get it, Big Ten guy. Mm-hmm. Always seems more like potential than production to me. And think about what Nebraska did to Aiden Childs, yes, in Michigan State. Taking a guy that you beat up on, it always just gives a funny look and a funny vibe of, oh, I mean, you saw this guy at his worst and you still want him. Maybe that's commitment. Maybe that's dedication to this guy. Bo Pribula is a name that some people threw out that I didn't think was going to be a legit option for Nebraska. Interesting guy, younger, but still with a little bit of starting experience. But maybe it's the Colts fan in me. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm talking myself into DJ Lagway. You know, and Nebraska doesn't have a confirmed visit with him. They've been working to line one up. He just visited Florida State yesterday. He'll go to Virginia today. But if you think about the first quarterback, the very first guy that, that Matt Rhule brought in to be his quarterback, it was Jeff Sims. I know the Jeff Sims experiment went off the rails. It did not end well for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about Nebraska needing an identity, Nebraska needing to know what it's about and what it stands for, I would have a little bit of respect for Matt Rhule if he went back to the, you know, the spiritual successor to Jeff Sims, thinking he can fix him, thinking you have a better quarterback coach in here, a better play caller that, that fits his style. You know, I don't know if Flagway's that much better or worse than Jeff Sims. I think that Husker fans would have some legitimate PTSD from it. Nebraska has options. Any dudes in there that I think are going to take Nebraska over the top? No, but you got to get someone. At this point, you had your chance to lock up your prom date. You're ready to ask her. She was just about ready to say yes, mm-hmm. but you didn't actually say the words, "Will you go to prom with me?" And so she didn't have to say yes. And then some other guy came in and, you know, you might be the 3.7 GPA guy. That was the 3.5 GPA guy. You might be the varsity sixth man and he's, you know, 10th man. But he asked first.
Yeah.
He said yes to someone else. So tough luck. Now you just got to go to the next option. There's no use complaining about it.
I mean, your DJ Lagway take kind of, I mean, makes sense because it's like, if that's the quarterback Matt Rhule wants to build an offense around, because we talk about identity of Nebraska's offense. What identity do they want to have? And DJ Lagway is sort of like a Jeff Sims. I mean, he may be, like you said, like you may have some PTSD from that, obviously, but Jeff Sims goes to Arizona State. And I mean, he was in the start of the Sun Bowl. He played really well in that game against Duke. And DJ Lagway, I mean, he was under Billy Napier at Florida. Obviously, that didn't end well. There was a lot of high expectations for him there as well. So he can go to somewhere like Nebraska, obviously still a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations out of you, but it's a new system. And if that's the quarterback that Matt Rhule wants to have an identity at the quarterback position, have him and TJ Lateef there battle it out. But to have TJ Lagway be that quarterback would be exactly what Matt Rhule wanted.
You would think. A few more texts to wrap up this segment. Let's see here. Kent, guys, I've been saying that for a long time. Price never sold anything. It's all about what you get for the price that you pay. In this case, Nebraska probably just didn't promote what he was getting. That falls on the coaching staff. You don't lose to Kentucky. Thomas in Lincoln, if Dylan wanted to come back, would you accept him? Jay and I talked about that yesterday on the show. Isaac says, quarterback, any of these names won't fix us until the team, especially in the trenches, is Big Ten competitive. Girl Bear, Nebraska with zero defensive line commits so far and no word on a defensive line coach is another black eye on this offseason. 93-26. I think it's a fear-based system where if you don't play a player, they'll sit for a year and then move on to another school. I think that's absolutely fair. 52-53, quarterbacks have too much ego to sit. 59-85, can we agree Nebraska needs a dual-threat quarterback? Yes, I think that that's the way that Nebraska is headed. Again, 402-464-5685 if you want to chime in on this conversation. So Nebraska loses Kenny Minchie. Nebraska has some options coming into Lincoln to visit. But what has Nebraska gained from the transfer portal? We'll sit down. We'll talk about that on the football front. Don't forget Hoops Conversation coming up at 5. Top 10 Nebraska gets its second conference road win of the season on the road at Ohio State. We'll talk about that at 5. He's Nick Wyman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School brought to you by Graham Tire. But hour one, as always, sponsored by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on not just some things, but everything. They still keep their prices affordable while being locally and family owned with their own team of installers. You can learn more by calling Heartland of Nebraska Windows 402-430-3852 or by visiting their website, heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. More Old School on the other side.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome back in. It is Old School Hour 1 brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down. down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real, tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee, infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Don't give up comfort for style. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look good while feeling comfortable. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Austin Norman and Nick Wyman with you for another 25 minutes or so. 402-464-5685 if you got any thoughts. Some positive news, though, for Nebraska, Nick. A couple linebackers in the fold. Talked about this a little bit earlier. Before the commitment of Will Hawthorne broke just about an hour ago. He is in the fold alongside Owen Chambliss. That's a linebacker room that I think needed some reinforcements. The names in there, Shavers and Merritt, if those guys play up to their potential in their rankings, maybe didn't need it. But you look at Chambliss and Hawthorne, a little bigger guys, both I think listed at 6'3 and in the 200s in terms of their weight. I thought Nebraska needed some linebacker help. They certainly need some playmaking linebackers. Chambliss, an All-Mountain West guy, and Hawthorne, a guy that had a hard time telling Nebraska no the first time. So not the front level, the first level like fans want, but I do think linebacker reinforcements were pretty necessary for Nebraska, and they got two of them here in the first few days of the portal.
Yeah, with Owen Chambliss, I mean, he was an All-Mountain West performer. He led the team in tackles. He was the guy for San Diego State, and, you know, defensive coordinator comes in here, and I was talking to Jay on Sunday during Inside Huddle, and I was like, oh, we'll probably see a lot of these San Diego State guys or a couple of these San Diego State guys make the jump to Nebraska and play for a bigger brand. And he's one of them. And he is a big time player. He's a run stopper. He can do it all. And he's going to be the guy that maybe an anchor for Nebraska's defense. I mean, it seems like he can maybe step in and he'll be on the field right away. Like he'll be a guy they lean on right away. Will Hawthorne, you know, like you said, he never really got an opportunity at Iowa State. He was only a freshman, never really got to see the field. Now he's here. And opportunity, and it's just, you know, he could have gone to Penn State maybe if that was up in the air, but we don't know that for sure. But he'll be here in Nebraska, so those are the two linebackers that Nebraska is bringing in. Owen Chambliss, I'm really excited to see him because I've watched a couple of the games with San Diego State, and he was kind of the guy. He was the guy of that defense. It was a really good defense too.
Yeah, I mean, a defense that had one of the biggest turnarounds in 2 years and, you know, a long time in the FBS. Rob Work does some really good work out there in the Mountain West, which is where I'm curious to see, Nick, if a guy like Owen Chambliss translates maybe a little bit better than like a Marquise Watson-Trent did from Mountain West to Big Ten compared to Sun Belt, I like the addition of Watson-Trent. Again, that was a productive guy. I think Nebraska and really any school can take as many swings on traits and potential as they want, but at some point you just got to get a dude who knows how to play. I think injuries maybe held Marquise Watson-Trent back a little bit, but I don't think he lived up to the impact or the billing that we thought he might have as an all-conference player coming to Nebraska. Maybe it was the size, maybe it was injuries, whatever it was. He didn't. Nebraska, I think, needed to take another swing in that room, and they certainly did. Let's talk about the offensive line addition. Tree Babalade, incredible name.
Incredible.
Sounds like he's coming to Nebraska from South Carolina. There's an offensive tackle, and I think that means three or four of the five positions on the offensive line are set for Nebraska. I think Babalade will be the front runner to lock down the right tackle job with Pritchett at left tackle. You have Brendan, give his name right. Wait a minute. Brendan Black.
You got to think through it.
Brendan Black there at right guard and Justin Evans at center. I think left guard is the hole to fill for Nebraska. You should have three or four options to cycle through, but it looks like the Lonnie Teasley connection paid off. Nebraska gets another SEC transfer to hold down the
The sight side? If it's the blind side, is it the seeing side, the sight side,
one of the sides.
Presuming, of course, Nebraska's quarterback throws right-handed.
The names we mentioned, they were all righties. So, I'm trying to think, there was a left-handed quarterback in the portal. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but if somebody in the text line has one, I don't know. You can Google that real quick. But no, I think everybody was begging, offensive line, we need the offensive line. We need to revamp the offensive line. And you got two guys in the span of 48 hours. And having those two guys who have played power four football is a huge get. We don't know who the quarterback is yet. We don't know who the starting running back off the top of our heads are yet. It's still early. It's January. But to have those guys there to anchor your offensive line is a huge addition. And I remember we were talking with Jay. I pointed back to last Sunday. There was nothing yet. There was really nothing in the portal. And we were like, offensive line. The whole text line was saying, offensive line. We need an offensive line. You got two dudes right here.
You absolutely do. And then that's where Nebraska sits. In terms of guys that's brought in from the transfer portal for the most part. Let me ask you this, Nick. What else is out there for Nebraska? What position do you think they go after next?
I mean, do you need another running back? Do you need a running back? You're always nice to have multiple running backs in power four football. You see it with a lot of teams. Like, a lot of teams are successful. They have multiple running backs. Quarterback's obviously number one. You need a quarterback. I mean, with TJ Latif, it pretty much sounds like they're bringing in somebody here to push a competition in some shape or form, whether that's a full-blood, you know, quarterback competition, or if it's we're signing this guy for this much NIL money and he's gonna be the guy, but we're gonna leave the door open for TJ Latif. We don't know. I think offensive line they nailed it. I think they needed something. You need depth. Like, could they add more? Sure. There's always depth is always a good thing to have. I would say running back, because Emma Johnson is, I mean, even if they sign anybody, it's gonna be hard to replace Emma Johnson in any shape or form. It's gonna be impossible to replace the production he had. But you're going to need multiple guys out there to make plays. And if you have a quarterback back there, whether it be DJ Lagway, Aiden Childs, Anthony Calandria, you're going to need somebody back there with him to provide something for the offense.
We have 5253 throwing out there Cam Fancher from Central Florida, but just signed with Michigan State.
There's the lefty.
Indeed. We also, Grill Bear says, some people are saying Nebraska won't be targeting portal running backs, and he's begging the staff to get an actual defensive tackle. Mississippi Mud Dog says D-line as well. I would say that defensive tackle is one that fans are going to be all over, and I understand why, especially with the departure of Keanu Davis, even throw Mav Noonan in that mix potentially. Nebraska's got names in there, but I don't know if they have dudes. I don't know if they have guys. I think they got a visit from, was it Horace Lockett from Central Florida earlier this week? Big space eater. But the type of player Nebraska is looking at at defensive tackle is much different now than it has been for really the last, 8 years or so. Maybe Nebraska ran some four down at times, but you think about the tackles that Nebraska's had, you know, your Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine types. Those are different body types that can play pretty well alongside each other, like we saw toward the end of the Bo Pelini tenure. But then, you know, you bring in Mike Riley, Mark Banker, and a little bit of four down here and there, and then it switches to the Bob Diaco 3-4, right? That was the thing. That was the wave. The Broyles Award guy, and then Eric Shenander runs three down. Then Tony White comes in, three down lineman, and then, of course, John Butler didn't make a big switch last year as well. I wonder how much recruiting DNA, you know, for a four-man front is left in Nebraska, especially without a defensive line coach. That, to me, is still one of the glaring misses of this offseason for Nebraska, and that you're into the transfer portal like fully right now, and you're without a position coach. You know, how much due diligence do you have to do? Did you just have that few connections? Is the right guy not available? Are you in talks with anyone? Doesn't seem like it. We haven't heard a whole lot on Nebraska's plans for the defensive line. And you would think that since it feels like it's taken this long, is Nebraska to a point where it's just going to, you know, divvy up that responsibility between guys already on staff and not hire one? Or does Nebraska just go get whoever they can to bring them in here? But I do think a big reason Nebraska's not that active along the defensive line in the transfer portal, whether it's, you know, for lack of trying or because guys aren't interested, I think having a coach in place would go a long way for that group.
Yeah, because then that's a guy you trust that you're coming in. You know, obviously when you visit, that's one of the coaches you want to meet right away, because that's a guy you're going to be working with day in and day out, night in, night out. Just not having a coach in that position obviously probably affects things, just because, you know, they could throw somebody in there, you know, let's say you commit, and then, oh yeah, we hired this defensive line coach. You know nothing about him, but you're going to be working with him going forward. It just, I don't know how that would rub off on a guy coming from who knows where. It's just such a weird situation because I don't really know what they do. I may just find somebody and pick and plug somebody in there depending on what needs they need. I'm just glad they got the offensive line. Offensive line, square one. At least they have some kind of vision there. Linebackers, you got two of them. One of them, obviously, a Mountain West all player. Hawthorne hasn't really played a lot. So at least you've got something, some ground base, because you have 16 outgoing transfers and now you got four. You had three yesterday at this time. Then you were down to two. Now you're back up to four. So yeah, it's constantly moving.
That it is. Nebraska football still looking at the transfer portal. I'm with you on running back. I would feel a little bit more comfortable if Nebraska would go get a guy. Pat Stewart talked to The Athletic about this and said, no, in the NFL, maybe it's swinging back, but there's not that real positional value for running backs in the NFL like there is in college, especially if Nebraska goes and gets a quarterback that hasn't started much at all. You think about the, you know, it's cliche for a reason. You know, get a run game to support your quarterback, mm-hmm, or a guy in his first extensive starting action in TJ Lateef. A no doubt alpha running back, I think, would go a long way for this Nebraska team. Unless, of course, Nebraska thinks the offensive line is going to be that much better and they can develop that number one guy kind of like they did with Emmett Johnson. Mekhi Nelson looked good in the bowl game. It wasn't perfect, but I thought he looked like the guy Nebraska had told us he was. So I'm not mad if Nebraska doesn't go and get a running back. I would still probably recommend it for them if they have, you know, money and they think it's going to be that important, if Dana Holgorsen is still going to commit to running the ball like he did, you know, like you said, toward the middle and back half of last year. Stay away from receiver, maybe a defensive back or two. But man, I think at this point, it's defensive line, running back, and that's where pretty much all the effort's got to be focused after you get the quarterback in.
I mean, you're right. Mekhi Nelson, he did those couple drives where he had a couple big runs. He had the touchdown run. But it's always nice to have more than one. I think that it helps just everybody in general. It helps the offense. Like you said, if Nebraska brings in a quarterback where the guy has played a handful of snaps and you have a good alleged good offensive line, you hope you can run the ball and that complements your offense. Play action fake. This guy can make some easy throws because they're selling out for the run. I think that helped TJ Lateef having Emmett Johnson back there. You know, TJ Lateef first start on the road in California against UCLA. I think being able to run the ball early helps. And then you have TJ Lateef, who that's a lot of pressure off your shoulders. You can make some throws and easier throws that they're selling out for the run. So I think that helps, you know, obviously different Iowa, Penn State, you name it, Utah, you can cherry pick any game that it wasn't successful, but
yeah,
it was there. There was that. Emmett Johnson had some big runs against Iowa, and I think that helps. You have a running back who can be a game breaker, changes your completely dynamic of your offense, especially if you want this O-line to be better.
Completely agree. That's Nick. I'm Austin. This is Old School. Hour one brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. We'll be back to wrap up this hour of Old School. We'll have the Lincoln Stars from 4 to 5 and then Old School again from 5 to 6 right here, 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. We're back wrapping up hour one of Old School. Big thanks to Graham Tire and Heartland of Nebraska Windows for their sponsorship. Austin Orman, no Jay Foreman, Nick Wyman filling in here for this first hour of the show. Nick, you got a chance to watch more of the FCS championship than I did yesterday. Saw the highlights, saw some... some intense fourth quarter action. Saw our white wide receiver named Taco become the hero on fourth down. FCS football continues to deliver. Montana State ends up winning. And of course, people could hear it right here on The Ticket.
I mean, it was an incredible game. I mean, Illinois State, what a story. Upset North Dakota State. Ran the gauntlet to get to. Because, I mean, North Dakota State, everybody hears North Dakota State, your South Dakota States. That's the Alabamas, the Georgias of FCS football. And for them to upset North Dakota State at their place where they haven't lost really many games. And then everybody this whole year, North Dakota State was talking like, this is the FCS team that's going to, they're one of the best ever. And Illinois State ran the gauntlet, made it to the championship, play a team like Montana State, who's also really good. And the game went to overtime, came down to the wire. Illinois State scores first, but the PAT gets blocked. Yeah. I mean, never really see that too much. Then Montana State, Taco, wide receiver, catches the ball for a touchdown. Extra point wins the game, 35-34. Some people are like, oh, there's no football on tonight. There's no football on. There's no Monday night. I'm like, technically.
There's football, folks.
There is football. Technically, there is football. FCS championship delivered. I'm glad the FCS, because they used to throw it on like a Saturday usually and gets buried in with the NFL. I'm glad they got their own stage because FCS, there's some really fun football games usually, and their championships have always been really good.
Oh, yeah. Fun football, fun players. What was it? Wisconsin River Falls won their first
one. Yeah, like, they beat North Central.
North Central, yeah, and down to the Division III ranks. So fun stuff going on at lower levels of football. We'll wrap up the transfer portal discussion, though, with this, Nick, back on the Nebraska standpoint of things. Volleyball transfer portal window now officially closed. Paperwork was submitted yesterday, so you might hear some names trickle out. But now volleyball players can't enter the transfer portal again until May 1st. Obviously, there's no deadline to get out of the portal, but this is from Lincoln Arneal. He says, no Nebraska volleyball players have entered the transfer portal. Not shocking that it's 2 years in a row. I know that they stuck around through the transition from John Cook to Danny Busboom Kelly, and now everyone's still here, believing in the message and the buy-in. Obviously, with the recruiting class Nebraska will bring in, there will be limited availability in terms of transfer spots. But what a program that's been built that, after 3 years of heartbreak, someone doesn't want to change the scenery. They're all in it together, and they're all pushing through to get that national championship.
I mean, I'd hope they're hungry after that A&M loss. I think that just proves that what John Cook established, DBK carried out. I don't think anybody batted an eye of what DBK was going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's a roster turnover was nothing. It's pretty much the same team, and I mean, they had a heck of a season. I mean, they may have lost it to A&M in that one match, but that match doesn't define your season. And I think
It does, though.
I mean,
it does, but it doesn't. You can give me all the excuses, and I know that Bergen Riley wasn't at her best. I know A&M was playing really well, but for Nebraska, You can look at the undefeated regular season, but it's just that.
A&M ended up winning the entire thing. They were the hottest team at that point in the country.
Right, but you're Nebraska. You're supposed to be the evil empire, the Death Star, and you let the Rebels, fire the torpedo again for second year in a row. At some point, just take out the X-Wing. But anyways, we know Nebraska volleyball is incredible. Wish nothing but the best for that program. They continue to build. They do it through the transfer portal. Shout out. And not through the transfer portal, actually, compared to some other places. They'll add, I assume, a player or two in a bit role, but nothing crazy with another incredible high school recruiting class coming in. Nick, appreciate you sitting in, as always.
I know.
For filling some, I'd say, big shoes.
Big
My
shoes.
Feet are actually bigger than Jay's, I think.
They probably are. I wear a size 14. So
size 14 club?
Just size 14, I guess. I guess so.
My
I guess,
man.
Look at this. Look at us.
Who would have thought? Not me. What you are expecting next, you're going to get it. Outside the Box with the Lincoln Stars, Alex Furn, head coach Rocky Russo, and a couple player guests coming your way here over the course of the next hour. For Nick, I'm Austin. Big thanks to Graham Tire for their sponsorship of Old School. Show's not going anywhere. Just taking a pause. Graham Tire Company hasn't paused for 75 years. That's how long they've served the Midwest. They're more than just tires. They do all kinds of car and light truck repairs, too. From brakes to oil changes, trust Graham Tire for service you can count on. Graham Tire getting you to the places that matter most. What matters now, Outside the Box, Stars head coach Rocky Russo, play-by-play voice Alex Furn with you next.